After your beloved dog dies, how can you begin to heal your broken heart? Sheila Cooperman is a listener and member of our DogCancer.com support community, and today she shares with us the true tale about Tucker, the dog she didn't know she needed, and how the act of writing about him is helping her to process his loss and two other losses as well.
Welcome to Dog Cancer Answers, where we help you help your dog with cancer. Here's your host, James Jacobson.
Hello, friend. Thank you for joining us on Dog Cancer Answers, the official podcast of DogCancer.com, where veterinarians, veterinary oncologists, cancer researchers, and science writers give you better information today so you have no regrets tomorrow. Today, we're speaking with Sheila Cooperman, a dog lover who's been processing her grief by writing about losing Tucker, a Boykin Spaniel, to dog cancer. So Sheila, thank you so much for being with us today.
I'm very happy to be here today.
Tell me about Tucker.
Well, we got Tucker about 8.5 years ago. I was a full-time school teacher, and I was never home. And my husband worked at home, and he was a dog owner always. I was not. So he wanted a dog. And my feeling about that was total indifference. It was like, okay, go get yourself a dog. If you need to have companionship, get a dog. I was surrounded by children, teachers, staff, parents. I was getting all the stimulation I need. And if he wanted a dog, go get a dog. But I said, it's going to be your dog. You're going to take care of the dog because I leave at 6 and I don't get home until 4. So we did a little research, and he kept taking some online, like, you know, match.com for dogs.
Yeah.
And this Boykin Spaniel breed that no one had ever heard of in our household kept coming up as the perfect match. And we actually went and found a breeder because neither one of us, or at least me, I knew nothing about rescue. I knew nothing about dogs. And we got this little tiny, bubbly little brown-eyed, brown-furred puppy. And he took care of the dog. But at some point, there was an enormous metamorphosis, and it became my dog emotionally. Mm-hmm. And I feel that my circadian rhythms merged with Tucker's. I don't know how to quite explain that, except that if there was something wrong with him, I knew it immediately. If he left, you know, his bowl untouched, or he didn't jump quite as high up on the couch, or he, you know, scratched his ear in the wrong way, I was like, there's something wrong with the dog. Mm. And in the beginning, David said, oh, it's okay. It's nothing. Don't worry about it. And I'm like, nah, something. I'm going to take him to the vet. And after a while, since I was always 100% correct, nobody ever doubted me when I said, we have to take Tucker to the vet. And Tucker followed me everywhere.
So what was it that first time when you had a suspicion to go to the vet? What was wrong with Tucker?
His ear. He's scratching his ear. Boykins are swimmers. Mm-hmm. They're the state dog of South Carolina. I don't know if every state has a state dog, but South Carolina does. And they were bred for small fowl retrieval in the swamps of South Carolina. And they have slightly webbed feet in terms of their, you know, paws. And all he liked to do was swim and catch balls. And he was shaking his head. I said, there's something wrong with the dog's ears. And that was the first time we realized that ear infections were relatively common for, you know, dogs who lived in the water. And I just became acutely aware of always watching his ears and watching what he eats, because he was pretty finicky. He never had stools that were firm. Mm-hmm. And so I just became very aware of his rhythm.
Okay. And then that connection that you had with him was important, I guess, in the diagnosis of first realizing that there's something wrong with him beyond an ear infection.
Correct. And, you know, the way the relationship developed between the dog and myself is my husband and I would be out And somewhere around exit 42 or 38 or whatever the closest exit was to whatever house we were living in, I would start to get very excited about getting home. Because Tucker greeted me at the door. He greeted us at the door. It wasn't just me, but he had a certain squeal. Mm-hmm. He made a certain sound when we walked in the door or when I walked in the door. And so it started to become a private family joke. On the way home, I would say to David, is it going to be squeal-worthy, our return?
Right.
He said, whenever you come home, it's squeal-worthy. And, you know, Tucker would follow me downstairs. We had a standard routine. He'd get up when I get up. I get up very early. He would follow me downstairs. He would stay with me when I had my coffee. But the minute was like very much like Pavlov. The minute he heard the jingle of my car keys, he ran right back upstairs to get back into bed with David. So I think we became a family. You know, David has two grown children. I have three grown children. We live by ourselves. We have lots of grandchildren. Nobody lives with us, but the dog lived with us. And so we became a family of three. Mm-hmm. And losing him was losing a family member.
And I'm going to get to the loss in a moment, but let's talk a little bit about the cancer journey that he was on. And what kind of cancer was it? And how long did you guys fight?
He had a mutated B-cell lymphoma, and the oncologist at Cornell, when she, you know, got the cytology report back and read everything, she said, this is a rare mutation. Mm-hmm. We don't have a lot of research on this. We have no idea how Tucker is going to respond to any of the treatment. Now, when I heard the word it's consistent with lymphoma, two things happened to me. One was I felt like one of those cartoons where, you know, there's someone staring at you and all you hear is wah, 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 wah. This woman's mouth was moving and the only thing I heard was cancer. The only thing I heard was lymphoma. And what it did to me was trigger two previous human losses that I've had, a mother and a stepmother, that every time I heard the word lymphoma, I said, this is not good, because they both died within 6 months of a diagnosis.
So, and they also had lymphoma, both of them.
Yeah, so hearing...
It runs in hearing, the family.
That's right. Hearing that word again, you know, was you know, triggered a lot, which is why I'm writing books. But she said, they put him on prednisone. And, you know, my initial attitude, James, was, okay, maybe this mutation is the mutation that will take to the chemo better than any other form of lymphoma. Mm-hmm. Mutations don't always have to be bad. So that's where I put my head. This might be more treatable than any other type of cancer. That was a stage of grief. I was bargaining. Nothing worked. Okay, for Tucker. The doxorubicin worked for 1 week. And after that, nothing worked. We had 8 weeks from time of diagnosis to the day we had to take him out of his suffering.
Okay.
So it wasn't very long. He didn't know it.
He didn't know it. And tell me a little bit about the observations that, because you and Tucker were so connected, what do you reckon Tucker was thinking during those 8 weeks?
Tucker had a very set routine. This was over the summer. And in the summer, there were two things that Tucker loved to do. Three things. Chase balls, and swim.
Okay.
And we have a pool. So at 7 o'clock in the morning, he was downstairs with a ball in his mouth, sitting at the door, waiting to go outside, and he would either chase the ball or swim for the ball for hours, and that never changed throughout his whole treatment. The only time I had to keep him out of the water was when he would come back from an infusion. I never knew Tucker. I mean, obviously we can't talk to him, but he wasn't sick. He didn't demonstrate any sickness. He had no side effects that he could feel. There was one or two times over the course of 8 or 9 weeks where I did have to take him back to Cornell for some stabilization. He had a GI bleed. So they gave him, you know, medication for, you know, soft stools and diarrhea. But other than that, that happened once. He got up in the morning, he went swimming. I started cooking a cancer diet for him. I missed the farmer's dog niche by a couple of years. I got real good at cooking the diet. And his stools were never better. They were horrible for 8 years until I started cooking this diet, and then they were great.
And that was the diet that you learned about in the Dog Cancer Survival Guide.
Yep. I read that book twice. It became my Bible. Mm. And I found that it just made me feel not alone. And I think that was really the beginning of my wanting to be involved with, you know, posting and writing. Because the feeling of isolation and the feeling that you are all alone and you're the only one suffering this, and the why me, why my dog, and all of those thousands of questions that one has, I found a great deal of support with the community of people on the Facebook page and the book.
You've become quite prolific and an amazing support to so many people in our dog cancer support group on Facebook.
I hope so.
Let's pause here and just remind you, listener, that we have a private support group on Facebook. It has over 10,000 members, and it is growing fast. It's really active, and it's a great resource for you. You can find a direct link to the group at dogcancer.com/support. In our group, you will find amazing people, very little dogma, in fact, we aim for none, and good information from reliable sources. You'll also find lots of emotional support from fellow dog lovers who know how you feel and what you're going through. It's the official support group of dogcancer.com. Now, if you haven't been to dogcancer.com, our main website, please check it out. That is where the real magic happens. We have amassed a team, what we call Team Dog, that now numbers over 40 people. We have veterinarians and veterinary oncologists and cancer researchers and science writers working really hard to deliver on our promise to you. Better information today so you have no regrets tomorrow. On dogcancer.com, you will find hundreds of informative, medically accurate, and frequently updated articles, videos, and references. If you've got any questions about dog cancer, head to dogcancer.com to help find those answers. And if you don't see it on the site, please submit a ticket so that we can either find it for you or write an article about that topic. And just like our Facebook support group, it is all free. It won't cost you a penny at dogcancer.com. And now back to Sheila, who joined our support group last year and posts her latest writings every week. When did you, you know, soon after discovering the cancer, when did you get involved in the Facebook group?
I got involved in the Facebook group. The first post went up on August 12th.
Okay.
Not in the Facebook group yet, but just in general on Facebook. Mm-hmm. I was supposed to go to a 50th high school reunion. Mm-hmm. I'm showing my age here. On the week of August 10th.
The school was built 50 years ago, is what you're saying.
Okay, yeah, we'll go with that. And I was leaving for the weekend, and Tucker, obviously, he was at the state of his treatments where he was only seeing the oncologist every 2 weeks, and he was panting a lot. Mm-hmm. Now, I know that panting could be a definite side effect of the prednisone, mm-hmm. but somehow this panting was different than the regular prednisone panting. It was harder. It was more shallow. It was coming more frequently. We were sitting outside. I said to David, there's something. It's not just prednisone. I got it. Let's take them. I'm going away for the weekend. Let's just take them. And we did take them to the regular vet, and she took an x-ray. This was on a Wednesday. She took an x-ray, and she said, well, I'm going to send this x-ray to Cornell just so that they have it. And 2 days later on that Friday, you know, there aren't a lot of vets that are open at 5 o'clock on a Friday evening. So we took him to Cornell for stabilization because of the panting. And it was that night when we got there that they said, your dog is going to end up in respiratory distress or have a heart attack because he can't breathe. Mm-hmm. Now, again, and I say this to people whoever listens, he didn't show any pain. I never felt that Tucker was in pain. Mm-hmm. Whatever discomfort the dog had with panting, I can't speak for him. But he was running and swimming and jumping until that moment when we took him to Cornell. The next day, which was on August 12th, I woke up with COVID. So I lost my dog on the 11th, and I woke up with COVID on the 12th, and that's when I started posting.
So it was only after Tucker passed that you started posting?
Well, that I came to the organization's Facebook page.
Got it.
But all through Tucker's sickness, I posted on my personal
page. On your personal page.
About
okay.
the journey.
Mm-hmm. And then you, as you said, you read the book a couple of times. You joined the group after Tucker had passed. And then, you know, talk about that a little bit in terms of the experience of being able to, you know, through the grieving process, be able to help other dog lovers with their own dog cancer journeys.
Well, I post every Friday. I posted one today. It's 6 months today, 26 weeks. And as a human being, I was a teacher for 26 years. I have a doctorate in literacy, and I'm a writer. I've always written. Mm-hmm. I've always written to poetry, or I've written to work through whatever, you know, issues or thinking I have. I'm a firm believer in the power of words. Mm-hmm. And so I started posting just what I was feeling without any barriers, no guardians, no, it was stream of consciousness and how I was feeling and why I felt so alone and what did I do wrong? I mean, I think the posts seemed to follow a continuum. And then I read Kubler-Ross's book again, you know, The Stages of Grief. And
Elizabeth Kubler-Ross.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I went, oh my goodness, I'm doing this again. And I realized there was no big difference between losing a parent and losing a loved dog. And then people started to write to me and say, thank you for saying what I feel, but I can't express. Or thank you for putting my feelings into words. And, you know, thank you for being so naked and vulnerable. And I think that I really was actually taken aback. I was surprised by the amount of support that I not only got for my own pain, but the amount of support that I was really able to give other people if the words, you know, that I was putting out there was able to help anybody else, then that became a goal for me. That became a goal.
Are you surprised?
By people's reactions?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, yes and no. I'm not surprised because I'm not narcissistic enough to think that I'm the only one in the world that goes through pain.
Right.
And that, you know, my dog is the only dog in the world. I mean, everybody who has a dog, who loves their dog, who grieves their dog, feels the same way. And I think there's a pattern to it. Like, what did I do wrong? What did I miss? You know, why me? What could I have done sooner? And I think a lot of people, you know, feel that way.
A lot of people do feel that way. That is for sure. Let's take a break right here and hear a quick word from our sponsors. And when we come back, I'd like to talk about what your overall goal is with this writing project.
And now, a message from your dog.
Oh, every day with you is like a day at the beach, and I want as many beach days as possible. Oh, I want to run. I want to sniff. Ooh, I want to find a good stick to carry. Oh, I want to roll in the grass. Oh, and warm my belly in the sun. Oh, I want to walk with you, run with you, sleep with you, eat with you. And when I eat with you, I want Everpup. The green, grassy beef liver smell wakes my senses. Oh, you may not realize this, but it tastes like homemade gravy. It infuses any food you give me with healthy life vibrancy. Oh, I can feel it. Everpup. Traveling to every cell in my body, nourishing each one. I'm so grateful to be your dog and for the Everpup you give me.
So now that you know what your dog wants, get Everpup, the ultimate dog supplement. Everpup is available in select pet shops and on Amazon. But to get the best price possible, join the Everpup Club at everpupclub.com, where you'll get your first jar for just $8 with free shipping anywhere in the U.S. Go to everpupclub.com and use the discount code DPN. That is everpupclub.com. Everpup, every day.
If your dog has cancer, you need to get a copy of the best-selling animal health book, The Dog Cancer Survival Guide. Because no matter what you've heard, there are always steps that you can take to help your dog fight and maybe even beat cancer. At nearly 500 pages, this comprehensive guide is your complete reference for practical, evidence-based strategies that can optimize the life quality and longevity of your dog. It's written by two of the most respected names in dog cancer, full-spectrum veterinarian Damian Dressler and veterinary oncologist Susan Ettinger. With the Dog Cancer Survival Guide, you'll learn everything that you need to know about conventional treatments, surgery, chemotherapy, and radiation, including how to reduce their side effects. You'll also discover the most effective non-conventional options, including nutraceuticals and supplements and diet, as well as mind-body medicine. What I love most about this book, which I've used with my own dog, Kanga, when she was diagnosed with cancer, is how to analyze the options and develop a specific plan for your own dog based on your dog's type of cancer and your dog's age, your financial budget, as well as your personality. You can get the Dog Cancer Survival Guide wherever books are sold, but if you get it direct from the publisher, you will save 10% when you use the offer code, especially for listeners of this podcast. Just go to dogcancerbook.com, and when you check out, use the promo code PODCAST, and you will save 10%. The website again, dogcancerbook.com, and use the promo code PODCAST to save 10%. I want to let you know about an important newsletter. It's called Dog Cancer News. Now, with a name like that, it is not for everyone. But if your dog has cancer, you will want to subscribe. That's because every issue features articles that will be helpful, such as low-carb dog cancer diet recipes, new clinical trials, financial resources to help pay for cancer care, information on supplements, and lots of other helpful info that your veterinarian may not know or have the time to share with you. Also, when you subscribe to Dog Cancer News, you will get a weekly update on the topics covered on this podcast, along with links and resources. So how much does Dog Cancer News cost? Well, today, you can subscribe for free. It's our gift. For a limited time, you can get a full year's subscription for free, no strings attached. Just go to this website to sign up for the newsletter now, dogcancernews.com. It takes less than 10 seconds to subscribe, and it is totally free. Do it now at dogcancernews.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
And we are back with Sheila Cooperman. So Sheila, what is your goal when you post your writing?
So my goal is to help people at least put a word to what they are feeling and to validate how they are feeling. Because even though I have not come across people who have said to me, oh, get over it, it's just a dog, because my whole family is involved with dogs, I know that there are people who do mm-hmm. run into that and who feel very isolated and alone. And my thought is, if my words can give anybody a sense of feeling validated and accepted and feeling that they have voice and someone's listening, I feel like that's going to be very helpful.
Well, it has been helpful. It's been helpful for lots of people. And that's why we want to, you know, let folks who are listening to this podcast or watching this podcast on YouTube know about it, because there are so many people who can benefit from just hearing about the odyssey of what you and Tucker went through for those 8 weeks, and your eloquence is quite striking. And so in the notes from today's show, we'll post some links to some of our favorite posts that you've posted in Dog Cancer Support, which you can find at dogcancersupport.com, which is a quick link to our Facebook group. And the thing is, this is going to live beyond the confines of Facebook. You're planning a book.
I am planning a book. Actually, I'm planning several. And I wasn't planning on writing a book. My husband is a wonderful photographer, and we have hundreds of pictures. Mm-hmm. And all I wanted to do was take the wonderful pictures of Tucker and put them in one of those, you know, books that you can get from any one of these, you know, photography websites. Mm-hmm. So I opened up a Google slideshow, Google presentation, and I uploaded Tucker's picture, and I was just planning on putting a caption there, but a story came, a children's story came, and the story came, it was about an angel, because I always refer to Tucker as my angel. He was just, he was my angel. He would put his little schnozzle, which we called it, his, you know, nozzle on my neck, and he was my angel. So the story came to be about an angel that comes to the door. And a little girl sees this angel and says to her mother in the story, there's an angel at the door. The name of the book is going to be, it's not out yet, An Angel with Four Legs. Hmm. And this angel comes to this grieving house because there is a mother who, you know, they lost the father, the husband's gone. And this angel comes to the house to bring this family back together. And he does. Mm-hmm. And of course, the dog is, you know, based on my dog. Mm-hmm. And the picture book uses names, you know, nicknames that I had for the dog. Mm-hmm. And then when I first met with the publisher, I told her about, you know, she asked me about Tucker. So I started to talk to her a little bit about how I write every week about the dog. And she said, well, my goodness, have you ever thought about publishing a grief journal for adults? Mm-hmm. And I said, no, but why not? So all of the posts that I've been putting up for the last 26 weeks are also going to be curated into another text. But with that text, there's going to be an integration of the similarities in loss between losing a human and losing a dog.
Have these writing projects been cathartic for you?
So cathartic. So cathartic.
Tell me about that. Tell me about the benefit that you get from just putting your hands on a keyboard and communicating this.
You know, the grief that I felt when I first lost Tucker over the, you know, beginning weeks, there was something that I felt about my reaction to his loss that seemed, and I don't know if this is the right way to express it, over the top. I got unbelievably depressed. Mm. Not depression. I mean, I was still able to work and do this, but Tucker was the first thing on my mind in the morning. He was the last thing on my mind at night. I had a very hard time with the concept of the permanence of his no longer being here. Hmm. So because writing has just always been something that I do, I just started writing. Mm-hmm. And I found that once I started to put, you know, words on the paper, I didn't feel as agitated. Mm-hmm. I felt that I could make a connection with my grief and a connection with how I was feeling. by immoralizing it on paper. Mm-hmm. Because one of the biggest things that I always feel is that everybody has a story. Everybody is a writer. The difference between people who write and people who don't is just picking up a pen and doing it, because everyone has a story to tell. And as I started to write, I realized that I was clearly working through a lot of other types of grief. I'll give you one example. It's a tough one to listen to, but I'll give you one example if this fits in. I lost my mother when I was 15. And we were away. And when I saw my father, my sister and I were in California, and they called us home. And when we got to the airport, we discovered that my mother had passed away about an hour earlier. She had been in the hospital. She took a turn for the worse. Nobody expected that she was going to pass. And when I went to the hospital to see her, I was very shocked. I was 15, about what she looked like, about the color of her face, about the coolness of her skin, because I did touch it. And much to the dismay of the nurses, and this was, by the way, was in 1969, and things were very different in 1969. Hospitals were very private. They didn't give people a lot of information. I pushed past the nurse. I pushed her out of my way. She didn't want me to go in the room. And I remember that I wanted very much to kiss my mother, but I didn't. I was afraid. Mm-hmm. When Tucker died, when he died in my arms, the very first thing I did was bury my face in his neck and his fur. And it occurred to me that what I didn't do in 1969, I closed in 2023 with the dog. And when I wrote about that, somehow I was released of the anger, because I felt sort of mad at myself that I didn't give my mother a final hug goodbye. Mm-hmm. I gave Tucker a final hug goodbye. Mm-hmm. That circle closed, and it got resolved.
And while you gave Tucker that hug, you weren't consciously thinking about it. You weren't saying, this kind of closes everything. But through the process of writing about it,
yep,
that's where you saw it.
Yep. And that's why when, you know, she suggested, have you ever done a grief journal? I thought, you know what, this might be a good idea, because as I'm thinking about it, there are a lot of similarities. My mother's death took me by surprise. Tucker's death took us by surprise. We thought he had a tick-borne illness. Mm-hmm. The vet said, I think he has a tick-borne illness. Mm. So the writing helps me clarify in my mind, you know, my feelings and how I can help other people.
Yeah. Well, and you don't need to be an author. You can just, you know, join us on our support group and write those stories, because it's hearing stories like yours, Sheila, that make such a difference for so many people to help them go through this process. And of course, other things in our forum and at dogcancer.com as well to help you battle and hopefully do well through this process of dog cancer. So Sheila, after Tucker, is there another dog on the horizon?
I don't know. I have a metaphor in my head of a balance scale. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, there's a positive for getting another dog. I miss the dog's presence. But then there is, well, I don't have a dog right now, so I will admit there's a little bit more freedom of time.
Right.
I don't need to get a dog sitter, you know. But I miss having that presence in the morning when I come downstairs. But what if the dog gets cancer again? Now, one of the things that I would have to say is I had no idea that dogs got cancer. Hmm. I never had a dog. And all of the other dogs in my family lived. My daughter's dog, 16 years. My other daughter's dog, 15 years. My neighbor's dog, 14 years. So in my mind, dogs live 16, 14, 15 years. And what do they die of? They die of old age. Mm-hmm. I never, ever thought that a dog would get cancer. I never thought that, you know, I would be going once a week in the middle of the summer for chemo treatments. That scares me, okay? The support group helped me through that. So, you know, I would never have been able to get through it if I didn't have that book and I didn't have the support group. Even though I wasn't posting, I was reading. So I'm not sure. I'm also, you know, older than I might look. I'm going to be 70.
Wow.
I get a little afraid that maybe the dog will outlive me, and then what? Mm-hmm. So there are all sorts of things that speak for a positive reason to get a dog or not. But when I see the puppies, and I when I see the little yellow eyes of the Boykin Spaniels, my heart skips a beat. So I would say it's up in the air. It's up in the air. Some days it's a total yes. Some days it's no.
You will keep us posted on what you decide.
If you bet do. I will. You bet.
And if I was a betting person.
You'd bet yes?
I'd bet yes. I bet we'll be seeing little puppy pictures on our page. But who knows?
May, who knows? You know, who knows? But I do get involved. I do post on many grief sites. I mean, there are 11 or 12 other sites that I post on, and one of them is IVDD in the Boykin Spaniel, which is a vertebrae disease. And I'm very active in that site, and they also deal with other kinds of really serious illnesses with dogs. So I don't want to stop being involved in helping people who suddenly wake up one morning, and that first line that I see in all of these sites is, bad news. Our dog just got diagnosed. My heart dog, my love dog, my world, my life. And every story that I read is my story. And I feel it. So if people can be helped through my story, to me, that's a little piece of grace that I can offer this damaged world right now.
Yeah, we need that. Dr. Sheila Cooperman, and I say doctor because you are a PhD in literature, right?
Is that in literacy?
Yeah. In literacy. Okay. Well, we appreciate you being with us today. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
And thank you, listener, for being here today. If you are grieving your dog or any other loss, take Sheila's advice as a PhD in literacy and use the written word to process your grief. Just picking up a pen and doodling, or speaking into your phone's recorder, or jotting down a memory or two can help the healing process as you mourn. Not everyone will have a book in them like Sheila does, actually multiple books, but everyone is a writer who can write. That's it for today's episode. I hope you will subscribe if you've gotten benefit from this podcast. I'm James Jacobson, and from all of us here at Dog Podcast Network, I'd like to wish you and your dog a very warm aloha.
Thank you for listening to Dog Cancer Answers. If you'd like to connect, please visit our website at dogcancer.com or call our listener line at 808-868-3200. And here's a friendly reminder that you probably already know. This podcast is provided for informational and educational purposes only. It's not meant to take the place of the advice you receive from your dog's veterinarian. Only veterinarians who examine your dog can give you veterinary advice or diagnose your dog's medical condition. Your reliance on the information you hear on this podcast is solely at your own risk. If your dog has a specific health problem, contact your veterinarian. Also, please keep in mind that veterinary information can change rapidly. Therefore, some information may be out of date. Dog Cancer Answers is a presentation of Maui Media in association with Dog Podcast Network.
T-cell infusions for lymphoma in dogs is a really interesting experimental treatment. But is it right for Mariana's dog, Hoya? Veterinary oncologist Dr. Megan Duffy is on Dog Cancer Answers, parsing out the pros and cons of such a tiny dog getting such a big treatment. That's on Dog Cancer Answers. Get it wherever you get your podcasts or at dogcancer.com/podcast.